Well, before we begin today, I'm going to light our Advent candles. We're almost to the end of the lighting of the candles. So our first candle was for hope. And we hope it lights. And our next is faith. The third candle is for joy. And today's candle is for peace. And there it is. I love that we share this tradition with so many other denominations. Any kind of ritual that we have that brings heaven and earth together is important to us. And I'm especially grateful for the ritual of our sweaters today because that is bringing heaven and earth together too, isn't it? And you wearing your crown of lights. And today is also the first day of Hanukkah. And I don't know if you've seen Stanley. Oh, wait, there's more. Yes. I was a little concerned that we didn't have a menorah, but, you know, they're on Stanley's glasses, so. Actually, I spoke with Stanley about how we could best honor the start of Hanukkah today along with our Christmas message. I think the more that we can incorporate many traditions to magnify the idea that we're all one, the more enlightened and the more unified we are with each other. And Lord knows we need that. We need to be unified with as many people as we possibly can. But before I start the talk today, I would like to acknowledge that sometimes during the holiday season, people make their transition from this life to the next. My brother-in-law that I have talked with you about, the father of my niece and nephew, passed away Thursday night. And my nephew sat with him through that night as Corey, my nephew's birthday, came around on Friday. And he sat with his father that night until the funeral home came. So I ache for my nephew who was turning 30. And his sister came down from Portland. She's 2 years older. And what she posted on Facebook is that her dad can now be in heaven with Mimi, her grandmother, having lemon bread pudding for Christmas. And I thought that was so precious, and I hope that they are. We also want to honor the legendary Sonny Falcone, who passed from this life this week, and the great legacy that he left, not only with fajitas, but also the legacy of his good children. And so, John, I've had the pleasure to meet you and all your brothers, and Sonny did a good job. Yes, he did. Yeah. And I love that if you didn't see the article in the paper, Sonny's remains will be interred at the Texas State Cemetery, and fajitas will be served before the service. So.
Actually, after the interment.
After the interment. Okay. Well. Okay, well, I was going to say, do I need to call the statesmen and tell them they need to report accurately? And our beloved friend Colleen Reeves had a major heart surgery on Thursday. And I had the opportunity to be with her Thursday morning before. And let me tell you what, that dear lady was as graceful going into surgery and coming out of it as she is walking around every day. And if you can't take inspiration from that, then where are you going to get it? So God bless Colleen and her healing. You know, she's, if you don't know Colleen, she's about as big as a sparrow. And so we just know that the strength of her body will take her through this healing process so that she might be back among us very soon. Leslie has bells. Anybody else have bells today? I was going to say, jingle those bells. Yeah. Oh, Abby. No kidding. there's another little bit of celebration today before we get started. And do y'all want to come up here or you want me to come back there? Okay, yeah, you come on. Okay, I'm coming back. So these two lovely people right here are celebrating 50 years of being married to each other. Thank you. My beloved friends, for the example that you set for us of weathering 50 years together.
Amen.
Amen. We give thanks. And we give thanks for your loving and willing service to this community, for everything that you have brought to us. We give thanks for the joy that you bring us, the continuity that you bring us. And may your lives continue to be joyful and enriching with and for each other for as long as you both shall live. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
That's fun. It's fun to get to bless on people. So, we have talked about all of the major characters. We've talked about the faith and the hope and the trust of Mary and Joseph. We've talked about the wise men, the magi, and the shepherds, whose course was going one direction and then changed to follow a different voice, a greater voice. And so this story now, we're leading up to Christmas. Let's talk about this journey that these characters were taking. So I want you to imagine what it would be like if it was time for you to have to travel to the place of your birth, to be counted in a census, and to pay taxes without a car. Rather, either walking or sitting on a donkey. And those of you that have born children, imagine that you're at about 8.5 months. Make it 9.5 months, maybe a little bit overdue, riding a donkey. Can you imagine that maybe Mary and Joseph were not particularly pleased that they were having to travel at this point in their journey? Can you imagine having to travel the days and the nights that it would take to get there? Yes, you can imagine it, because you too, in a different way, have had to make journeys in your life, symbolically and literally, that were not necessarily easy journeys to make. Maybe you dreaded every step of the way. Maybe you didn't want to go at all on this journey. None of us plan major illnesses. None of us say, you know, I think I would like the growing opportunity to have cancer or arthritis or a sinus headache. I would not like to, I think I would prefer not to do those things. Yet life takes us on journeys that we're not expecting most of the time, that sometimes are difficult. And what we have to do is look for the blessing in the journey. This is not new news to you, right? It's just something that we have to keep reminding ourselves sometimes over and over and over, is to keep looking for the blessing. And so Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem, and everybody was booked up in the hotels. Couldn't even get a Motel 6. But there was one person who said, I can accommodate you in this very modest and meager way, but I'm willing to do that. It took one person. It took one person being gracious and generous to allow that next unfolding of events to occur. One person. Have you ever thought about the innkeeper? He could have said no. He could have said, I'm sorry, I don't put people in the barn. But he said, let me see if I can make a comfortable place for you. That's all that's there. The other part of the story on that is that sometimes we arrive at our greatest blessings in the most modest of circumstances. Like when we least expect it. So I want to bring in the story of Hanukkah too. And, the Jewish people have had a history of wandering from one place to another, being in captivity to one tribe of people or another. They've had their temple built and torn down and built and torn down. So when the temple had been restored the first time, this was about the second century BCE, they were trying to hold on to this temple and defend it. And so the Jewish Maccabean army was fighting against the Syrian army. And in the temple, because of the conditions of war, there was only enough oil to burn the candles, to burn the lamps in the temple for one night. And yet, the oil continued to burn for 8 nights. That is what Hanukkah is all about. It's about miracles, and it's about light. You know what the Christmas story is about? It's about miracles, and it's about light. Now listen, miracles don't have to be some kind of supernatural woo-woo thing. Sometimes they are, because these confined minds that we have cannot comprehend something beyond what we think ought to be. Right? But how many of you have experienced something in your life in which you were not expecting to have a good outcome? You couldn't even imagine a good outcome, and a good outcome came to you. Yeses or no's?
Yes.
Thank you. Just checking. Want to keep us all on track. And so a miracle is something that defies what we think ought to be. If you look at it that way, we've got miracles going on all the time, don't we? And you know, we spent a long time talking about gratitude in the month of November. Gratitude helps us see the miracles. This is going to sound very trivial, so just elevate it to whatever lesson you need. We have a passel of great nieces and nephews on Bill's side of the family. And it's really fun. I mean, I love the nieces and nephews that are grown people on that side of the family, and their kids are just a blast. And so, man, it snuck up on me, and I was like getting after it on after the board meeting Monday night. I was on Amazon getting after it, ordering presents. And every time an Amazon package arrived at my doorstep, I was like, yay, another Christmas present came. It got here on time. And there was one in particular I didn't think would arrive on time for my great nephew. And it did. And I was so happy. And do you know, being happy over Amazon presents arriving on time made me happy about a whole lot of other things. Now, that sounds silly, but it's something that gains its own momentum. And it's something that we're responsible for looking for. You know, we've grown out of, and I wrote about this a little bit in the letter that went on, my letter in the newsletter this last week. When we were kids, we were expecting to get stuff, you know, and we wrote lists. I remember one of my friends when I was working in Dallas a long time ago was Jewish, and her husband gifted her every night of Hanukkah. And usually they're nice little gifts, you know, that you exchange with your family celebrating those 8 nights. Wow. Jackie got a pair of diamond earrings one night. She got a fur coat one night. She got a new car another night. I thought, man, I have been in the wrong place all these years. Just kidding. Kind of. But we expected to get. And as we grow, we discovered that there's more joy in the giving. So much more joy in the giving. Whether it's a gift, or whether it is the gift of our presence, or whether it is a connection with somebody we haven't seen in a long time, or if it's seeing our dear Lisa Cole, missed you so much. I'm so glad to see you. And Santa and Matt Heineman are here. Where are you sitting? Right there. Oh, yes. Hello. And you're sitting in a big church today. Yeah. So glad to see you guys. And especially with the things that have happened in your lives recently, it is a blessing to bless you and to be blessed by you being here. Thank you. So we have so many things that we can look for miracles. And when things are really not going very well, it's when we must look for them. We must look for the little things because they are the forebears of the great things. So we go back to the Christmas journey. Any mother is happy when it's time for her baby to arrive. Usually more than happy for the baby to arrive. And so I imagine after that journey, Mary was exhausted. And you never hear Mary, at least in the scripture, we know but nobody was there. TMZ was not taking photos or anything. Nobody was there saying, Mary, how do you feel about being in this very modest barn-like atmosphere to deliver your child? We never hear Mary saying, oh no, this won't do. She said, let it happen. Just let life happen the way it's happening. And of course, not only was this child born, but if we translate that into our own lives, we can say, all right, here is my life. Here is what's happening. This is what is. Let the greater come forth. That's why we celebrate Christmas, because we are never done with discovering more of the Christ presence in us. We are never past being rejuvenated and reborn. Never. If you think you're done, you'd be gone. Do you see? If you feel like you've learned all the spiritual lessons you're going to learn, you don't need to be here anymore. And it would be nice if we could say, wow, could I just get a break every now and then? Could I just get a break? And it's up to us to shift that a little bit to say, okay, the way things are right now, the breaks are not coming. Ergo, I must look for the blessings and the miracles. I must. And we have that power. Nobody is going to dink us with a magic wand and make us think differently. Well, I might. I'll do an imaginary dink. But nobody is responsible for the way we shift our thinking, the way we look for miracles, except us. We're the ones. We have the responsibility to bring that Christ consciousness forward, just as Mary had the responsibility of following that call of nature that would have her deliver that baby at exactly the right time. And you know, truly, if there was an astronomical phenomenon that guided the Magi, that guided the shepherds, you know that that star was shining, that it shone down upon Mary and Joseph on their way and said, land here, I've got this covered. And so, beloved, there is a star that shines for you. It may feel like it's peeking out of sight every now and then, like there may be clouds over it, but the star is there. It's never not there. The light of God is never not there. The light of God is forever and ever with you. And that which dwells in us, that is part of our DNA, that is wired to God, is destined to push forward, to express as us. Spirit is not complete without our expression. It's why we're here. And if you think about it, what a miracle your birth was. Your physical birth and your spiritual birth. It's a miracle. And here you sit. And here you sit, uniquely expressing in the way that only you can express it. Only you. So I can name your names and say, oh, there's Scott God. There's Labette God. I see you. And I see God expressing as you and in you. We're that miracle baby. And you know, Jesus carried the metaphor on and told us later on to become as little children, to maintain our innocence. Don't you dare get too jaded by life and by this season to miss the miracle. You know, if Christmas music makes you happy, put on Christmas music in the background. I'm still not tired of Andy Williams. I'm still not tired of Dean Martin, even, or Mel Torme, or Bing Crosby, or the Ray Conniff singers. Oh, I'm dating myself so much right now. Mariah Carey. Oh, I know, Wham. Yes. Except I can't remember the name of the other guy that was not George Michael. So, yeah. Anybody remember his name? Andrew Ridgely. Thank you. I'm filing that away. Thank you. That little chip was missing, so thank you. Listen to some Christmas music. Get sappy. You know? Get sappy happy over Christmas. Overindulge. I got an agreement over here, no problem. Overindulge. If you're wrapping presents, sing a song. If you're traveling in the car to see a relative, you know, the relative. If you're traveling in the car to see the relative, crank that Christmas music up and sing as loud as you can. Because Kit will verify this, that if you're singing, you're breathing. If you're singing, you're breathing. And we all need to breathe. We all need to breathe right now, hey? So when we get together, for those of you that can join us on Tuesday evening, early in the evening, 5:00, we like to have our service at that time of the day so that people can get home before it gets really dark and so that people can go on and be with their families. But when we have that service together, it will be quiet and prayerful. And it will be with that sense of anticipation for that next awakening, that next birth of the Christ. And you may ask, what does that look like? What does that new Christ spirit look like in me? Oh, there's the miracle. Don't try to guess. You may find yourself being more patient than you thought you were. That'll be a miracle, yeah? For me, yeah. And you may find yourself experiencing that tenderness of joy that brings tears to your eyes. That is another aspect of your Christ self awakening. You may find yourself friendly with strangers that you might have otherwise ignored. That is the Christ spirit opening in you. You may find yourself digging into some things you've been avoiding and discover that learning the lesson from them is not as hard as you thought it would be. Those are some ways it'll show up. But I can only give you examples, because the way it shows up for you will be unique and beautiful and as special as this season is. You will have light. You will have miracles. They are waiting in potential right now. So let's pray. Are you breathing? Like really filling yourself up with that life-giving breath. If your heart is aching for any reason, if your body is aching for any reason, just let it sink into the breath of life in you. And don't be afraid. For everything that moves us forward, whether it's joyful in the moment or painful in the moment, it's all good. It's all good. We will come to see, even if it is not evident. You may have friends and family right now that are taking a difficult journey. Bless them. You or those you know may think there is not enough. Pardon me, just like that oil in the temple. Not enough. And yet there is. Look for the light, beloved. If we knew what a miracle looked like before it happened, it would not be a miracle. So let yourself experience the wonder, the mystery, the unknowable, the unspeakable. Let your heart be encouraged and comforted by that ever-living, ever-loving, everlasting Spirit. Carry it with you wherever you go. Bless others with it, for in so doing, you're blessed in return. Find a reason to laugh. And I'm so sorry. And if you find yourself with tears, not knowing where they're coming from, let them flow. For this is part of the awakening as well. Breathe into your heart. Know that all is well there. Know that always it's been well there and always will be. And especially now in this time in which our country is divided and distressed, sad. Spread your love. For beyond all our differences, we are more alike. For all these blessings, we are so grateful for the awakening of the Christ child, always and ever within us. We're grateful. And we listen now for the brush of angel wings as we go about this season. And we let everything else go. We just release it. And we say, thank you, God. And so it is, and so it is, and amen.